Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucciola ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Troy Brower. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome into the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan, 590thefan.com. Charlie Marlowe, Jim Huer, Brian Hoffman, Darren Atkins, the Peoria Plowboy. You're hearing it? I don't think you can get sick of this song, honestly. And I'm not. Plowsy disagrees. I'm telling you, every time I hear this, and when, I know we're not supposed to mention other radio stations, when they do the 24 hours, if you're doing errands throughout your day, let's say you're driving and you make 10 different trips, whether it's taking the kids to school, going to work, coming back, going to the store, blah, blah, blah. I don't mind hearing Gloria once per trip. You know what I'm saying?
Knowing what it all refers to, I'm all happy. There is going to be a point maybe where I go, yeah, you know what, I don't want to hear it right now. But right now, with everything and the euphoria going on, I'm all in. I'm all in. Anytime.
Also all in. Anytime, every time. Frank Cusimano. Covered the game last night in Boston, joining us, I believe, from a layover. Last time he was in Charlotte. Frank, where in the world is Frank Cusimano? Where are you, sir?
We are part of Channel 5's See America plan, where we like to see a little bit of America as we head back to St. Louis. We're in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, walking through the airport as we speak. Tom Stasiak, the outstanding young photographer right ahead of me.
Young.
Trying to get one last meal on Channel 5's dollar, I think.
Love that. So I do want to get to the lobster, but we'll put that at the end here. That'll be our fun kicker story. Just your thoughts on the game last night as the Blues are now one win away from their first Stanley Cup in 52 years.
Well, I really thought going in that the big thing was to handle, like, the energy in the building. And it was crazy. I mean, with Chara being introduced and Bobby Orr waving the flag, it was a crazy scene, and they came out flying. And, you know, we should all, like, just, you know, take a moment today and thank the good Lord that Jordan Binnington came into our lives, because without him standing on his head, picking up the 17 saves, and making that a 0-0 game after one, who knows what would have happened. I mean, let's face it. We've all been watching the Blues for years and years. We know that in the past, they would have had a goaltender in that situation give up two or three, and Boston would be up 3-2 heading back to St. Louis. But not with this kid. He was the difference, especially in period one.
Frank, there have been goalies in Blues history have recorded more saves in a postseason game. Even his backup, Jake Allen, has done so in a single game. But given the context, that's the greatest goalie performance in Blues history, isn't it, what Binnington did last night?
Yeah, I think you have to make a case for it. If you, you know, factor in the importance of the game, a game five in the Stanley Cup final, 38 saves is freaking serious business. It really is. And, I was thinking about all those instances in the past where the Blues goaltenders have just, you know, choked it up at the most important time. And ironically, Nick Kyprios, the man who destroyed Grant Fuhr's knee, it wasn't Grant's fault, but he was, he's covering the game for a broadcast outlet. He's covering the series. And every time I look at him, I think about, you know, this guy maybe cost us the last time, because that was an unbelievable team. In fact, we interviewed Brett Hull about it. And this is, that's like one of the biggest regrets of his career that they didn't win a Stanley Cup. And if Fuhr wouldn't have been run over by Kiprios, you know, this may be our second Stanley Cup.
Talking with Frank Cusumano, give us the pulse of the post game from both the St. Louis perspective, obviously, which we care about, but and I know this always happens nationally whenever there's any type of controversy, but a lot of the focus, obviously, on the trip and the non-call, and I'm listening to Bruce Cassidy. He called it egregious, the officiating, and basically said, I'm paraphrasing, but he said they effing missed one. So a lot of focus for the next couple days will be on that non-call. But this is also a Blues team that's had their fair share of negative calls against them, i.e. the hand pass.
Yeah, and it's a city that's had their fair share of bad calls against them if you go back to Denkinger. I mean, I think we deserve one of these, honestly. Now, was it a trip? Yeah, it probably was. Yeah, I agree with it. But I'm telling you, Cassidy better be really careful about the way he handles this thing because – you know, we saw the way to handle a poor call in the past, the proper way to do it, and that's what our coach did. That's what Craig Berube did after the hand pass. He better not let this thing linger. I mean, his blanking and moaning better stop right now, and he better get ready for game six, because if he makes this an issue for a while, then this, you know, they have no shot at all.
See, I think that's a very interesting point, because I agree with you in terms of the team turning the page. And that's where I think the Blues did a great job. Didn't even talk about it after the hand pass and moved on. I do think, though, that he's certainly posturing in the media to maybe get some beneficial calls moving forward in Game 6. And he even alluded to that last night, saying basically everything officiating-wise has changed since Craig Berube made his comments, where Berube said earlier in the series, you know, we were the least penalized team in the first couple rounds, and now we're getting all these penalties.
Yeah, and Berube, you know, basic, after he said that, he said, I don't agree with the call. He wasn't, like, destroying the referees. But Berube said, and I was in that press conference, he says, I don't agree with some of these. So I think that what Cassidy did was a little bit further. But Berube didn't use the word egregious. So I'm sure Cassidy is a smart enough guy to know that, hey, all he should be thinking about is 7 o'clock on Sunday night. But I like the Craig Berube approach much better. Put the thought in their head. Don't go overboard. Take it to the edge. Don't get fined. But make sure they know that, hey, we are the least penalized team. We've been getting hit a lot.
Frank, I saw one of your tweets last night talking about how the guys in the locker room, obviously it's excitement one game away, but there's still a, hey, there's work to be done attitude amongst that group in that locker room. They know there's still one really tough game left. At least I got that from your tweet last night.
Yeah, boy, I tell you. They were not, like, euphoric. They were not celebrating or anything like that. I mean, I wouldn't say they were deadpan, but, like, David Perron right afterwards, hey, we're over this thing now. And that was, like, 45 minutes after the game. We're on to game six. And Parayko was like that. And Ryan O'Reilly was like that. And Vince Dunn was like that. They were all like that, which is really, really a good sign that, you know, look, it's like the old Herb Brooks line. If they blow this now, they'll take it to their effing graves. They don't want to do this. They don't want to blow this thing. They know they got to lock in right now.
Frank, how about Ryan O'Reilly, especially the last couple games, 3 goals in the last 2 games. He was obviously the Blues' best player throughout the regular season. And then I want to say rounds 2 and 3 versus the Stars and Sharks, there was a lot of talk of, is Ryan O'Reilly injured? He didn't look 100%. And now here we are. He leads the team in points with 20 throughout the playoffs, and he's getting hot again at the perfect time.
Yeah, and Charlie, it's interesting to see how they've kind of like taken turns. First, it was Jaden Schwartz. And throughout it all, it's been Vladimir Tarasenko. But now it's the best player in the regular season being the best player in the postseason. And I was talking with Kevin Allen and a couple other hardcore hockey guys yesterday. And we were discussing about the possibility of a Conn Smythe. Now, remember, this was before the game when we were talking about this. And Kevin Allen went out of his way to say, well, it can't be Jordan Binnington. He's had too many bad games. Now, I'm under the impression that if Binnington is great in game 6, he's going to win it. But if he's not, and Ryan O'Reilly has another good game, and here he is sitting with 20 postseason points, this guy has a real chance to win the Conn Smythe, the postseason MVP. And remember, it's not just for the final. It's for the whole body of work. But it's so good to see the hardest worker, the best person. And there's, you know, anybody that's ever been around Ryan O'Reilly, and Charlie, you have been around him a lot. You just root for this guy. He represents everything that's good about sports. Great teammate, really humble man.
Such a pro, absolutely.
Frank, Zach Sanford was a healthy scratch after Game 3 against Winnipeg. Was not playing well, dating back to the regular season. He'd gone 8 straight games without recording a point. Is put into the lineup basically because of the suspension of Oscar Sundquist. So he has to play because he needs someone to fill that role. And since then, based on his play, has inserted himself back into the regular playing lineup for the Blues. Has now recorded a point, an assist in 3 straight games. Is a +4 in the Stanley Cup Final. Had a beautiful assist on the Ryan O'Reilly goal last night. Can you remember? And we're just discussing players almost just taking their turn to contribute. Sanford's contribution late in the Stanley Cup Final is really unseen.
Well, it really is. And I go back to when that trade was made, and Charlie can relate to this because we all really liked Kevin Shattenkirk, selfishly as media members, because he was the best soundbite in the locker room and the nicest guy. And we were thinking, wait a minute, okay, you're probably not going to sign him. But this is what you get in return, this fellow named Zach Sanford. And then he has the fight in the middle of the season, and he really doesn't produce, and he's move around. He's a healthy scratch and everything. And now, because of what we're seeing in these 3 games, we're seeing this big, athletic guy with great skill and great size produce like this. You're not just thinking about what he's doing now. Is, hey, we got another building block here. We got another piece to help our franchise for years to come. I mean, this is unbelievable. And, you know, I'm wondering if, you know, some veterans on this team think that, hey, this guy's going to be taking my ice time, or maybe he's going to be on the roster and I won't be on the roster next season. So, yeah, he has really been impressive.
Frank, let's just say sometime today you're back in St. Louis. You got a call from someone at KSDK, the guy who books the travel, and says, looking at flights for Tuesday back to Boston. What are you going to say to him?
Oh, gosh. Look, it's a beautiful city, and I love the north end of the pasta, but the last thing I want to do in my life is go back to Boston freaking Massachusetts.
So, Frank, we'll end on this then, because you did bring up pasta. You had talked about the lobster, and the lobster looked good, man. Every single media member, they had the bibs, they had the full lobster on the nice little tray with the checkered placemat. How was it?
Yeah, it was outstanding. It really was. And I will say this, the always benevolent Tom Stasiak knew that I was off the air at 8 o'clock Eastern time with the pregame show, and that was also the time that they stopped serving. So technically, I was going to be the only guy to not get the lobster, the man who had been talking about it the most and looking forward to it the most. But Tom Stasiak got me a big, huge Maine lobster and some steak. And yeah, it was outstanding. It really was. You can't get bad lobster in Massachusetts. Oh, guys, by the way, did we do a pick-to-click yesterday?
Someone said piranha. Who said piranha?
Yeah,
someone in this room.
I remember that.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I said Schwartz, I believe.
Yeah, I might have been.
If you
want to
go back and play that, you can go ahead and play that.
Yeah, the audio's gone. Sorry, I lost it.
I told Perron, I was kind of excited when we were interviewing him right before, because I had to keep him there for a minute. And I said, hey, I just want you to know, on my radio show today, I said, you is my pick to click. And I thought he'd be kind of excited. He says, oh, great.
Frank, like, appreciate really the time, cared. Buddy. As always, safe trip back.
Thanks. We'll see you soon.
All right. That's Frank Cusumano, Boston to Chi-Town, coming back to the Lou for a huge Game 6 Sunday night, which could be one of the greatest nights in the history of St. Louis sports.
It's the most anticipating sporting event in St. Louis sports, like within the city, right? Super Bowl's played
absolutely
in Atlanta. I know that the Cardinals have had Game 7 8 years ago, but I feel like just what's on the line and the anticipation for what could happen supersedes anything.
The magnitude of this never, ever happening before, not even getting close, is just puts it on a different pedestal.
We have a ton of post-game audio. Maybe we'll take a break here, play that on the other side. I'm curious to your guys' opinion about this, because I feel like, especially in the hockey playoffs, whichever team is down and is desperate, they're always going to have that extra gear to go to. So the Bruins will have that on Sunday. I'm obviously not saying that the Blues, you know, won't be playing their hardest, but I just wonder, because I do feel like that in the hockey playoffs, the officiating and the narrative surrounding the officiating, it impacts the game and how things are called. Mm-hmm. And with Barbashev getting a hearing, you got to think he's going to be suspended for the game. But overall, I just think when Bruce Cassidy comes out and whines or complains as much as he did last night, and we'll play that clip, you just wonder now if the NHL is thinking, man, Boston feels like they're screwed. You know, maybe it's more fair if this thing goes to seven games. And again, I'm not saying that the officials call it that way, but I do think the narrative kind of takes over, and it will the next couple of days. The same way with the hand pass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, if you've watched enough hockey over a long period of time, there are such things as makeup calls.
100%.
No one wants
in all
to.
Sports.
We see that in college basketball, but
it's 50-50 calls. Yeah. Like, it's 50-50 calls, and again, these referees are human beings, and you can't ignore every media outlet nationally for the 72 hours from Game 5 to Game 6, all basically out there talking that Boston got screwed. Like, as a human being, as a referee, you can't not let that seep into your brain.
No. Look, I could tell you there were six men on the ice shortly after Bruins scored earlier in the series. Blues fans were like, oh, you got to be kidding me. You can't count? Zdeno Chara just flat out cross-checks a stick out of Bozak's hands earlier in the series, would have given the Blues a 5-on-3. Blues fans are, you know, we were like, oh my goodness, you kidding me? You can't make that call just because it's Zdeno Chara? There have been many things one way or the other. The one thing on this goal that was scored on that, Boston let Perron have his way through the offensive zone. And the other thing, it was not a good goal given up by Rask.
Not at
no
all.
No one's talking about how
a wobbler.
That was not a good goal. I mean, that went off of his pad and in. That's not a good goal for Tuukka Rask to give up. It should have been whistled and there should have been a trip, but it was not a good goal. But you'll take it if you're the Blues.
100%. And that's where
you play till the whistle.
Yeah. It's in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and in any sport though, if a game goes down, whether it's to the third period and it's tied, or a one goal game, or overtime, or extra innings in baseball, whatever it is, if you have a game that's that close, you're always, both teams, you're going to put yourself in a situation where puck luck or a bad call is going to affect things at the end of the game. And look, it wasn't like Boston was guaranteed going to win that game, right? I mean, okay,
yeah,
if that goal was taken off,
part of that too,
it's one zip. Does that mean Boston automatically scores after that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, look, Boston played really well in that game. And that's why we'll play these post-game clips, but I thought Craig Berube said it perfectly last night when he said, basically, they played gutsy, and they got great goaltending. And that was the recipe yesterday, because fair to say that Boston actually outplayed the Blues, certainly in the first period, and they outshot them, they outhit them. But it was one of those wins where Jordan Binnington stood on his head, you got just enough, and the Blues did grit it out. And there's nobody in St. Louis, especially if you've been a sports fan going on your whole life here, and you can talk about the Denkingers and the hand passes and the fifth down and the kick six and everything else in Spygate. Nobody's going to feel bad about one break going St. Louis's way. As Frank Cusumano said, St. Louis deserves this.
I was watching NHL Network after the game, and they replayed their post game about 100 times. So I missed it the first time, got to see it maybe the fourth or fifth time last night overnight. Mike Rupp made a mention during this whole process of that missed call. He goes, you know what? Boston's complaining, and I get that, but they're also the harbinger of a guy who has made, and they're talking about
Marchand.
Marchand.
That's a great point.
He poked Binnington in the center of the spot last night.
It was a true spear. He goes, over the course of these playoffs, Marchand has gotten away with numerous things. They shouldn't be complaining as much. They got beat. That goal, that play had a big impact on it. But they had numerous chances to score early and didn't do it. I mean, he really did kind of say Boston's the last team that should be complaining because of the guy that's on their team. Love watching them play, but that's part of what they are too.
And there's still the missed 6-on-5 penalty,
yes,
in game two that occurred on a Boston Bruins,
yes,
goal. I think what's interesting to me about Sunday is, Chuck, you mentioned getting Boston's best game. Part of me wonders if you got that last night in the first period. You expected Boston,
yeah,
to come out really fast, really heavy, which was the reason why I expected the Bruins to win last night, because you were going to get their best game in front of their home crowd, bit of desperation, and you survived that onslaught. And I didn't think it was at all coincidental that immediately as the second period starts, you scored the first goal. You survived the storm of the Boston Bruins, you weathered it, and then you struck first immediately after it ended. And I just wonder where that leaves the Bruins mentally in Game 6, especially if you're the Blues, similar to what you did against San Jose, if you're able to score early in Game 6. I do wonder where that leaves the Bruins.
That is a big difference. You're right. They survived the first 10 minutes. It was an onslaught.
Yes.
And then you're going, oh, my goodness. And as great as Binnington was making the key saves, in the first couple minutes of the game, I thought, uh-oh, he was fighting the puck a little bit. He was giving away some big rebounds. He had that one chance to freeze the puck and didn't do it. And I was like, this isn't good if he's going to fight the puck all night. And then he, as things progressed, he just started making big save after big save. And you're right about you weather the storm. That's the recipe for success on the road. Weather the first 10 minutes, boom, make it happen. And that's what they did.
And look, this team now in the postseason, 9-3 on the road, and the numbers now improve in games 5, 6, and 7 to 7-1 in games 5, 6, and 7 in the Stanley Cup playoffs, which you'd have to think is a Blues team that wears you down over the course of a series. They have great depth, so if you have to have guys coming out, you have no problem with, let's say, your 13th forward coming in, a guy like Zach Sanford, who has 3 assists. He has an assist in each of the last 3 games. I think what you brought up about Marchand is very interesting also, and that's kind of what I was thinking or trying to talk about with the officiating. Go back to the Dallas series. When you have Lindell early embellishing,
yeah,
there was some complaining about Bishop embellishing as well, right or wrong. But my point is, when that becomes a talking point, and if as an official you no longer think that that's happening on the up and up, you're probably as a team not going to get the benefit of the doubt with those 50-50 type calls. And I think that was a great point about Marchand brought up last night. Is if you have the guy who right now in the NHL, it's safe to say he's the poster child, right? For being the pest who's, what, stepping on sticks, poking guys, doing whatever it is, spearing guys. He hit Jordan Binnington in the naughty bits.
Him and Molina have something in common. Now.
Right. So my point is, look, if you have that guy and you are harboring him on your team and there's a million cameras that see everything nowadays and you have all these instances of Marchand doing all these pesty kind of after-the-whistle type things, as a team, you're probably not going to get the benefit of the doubt. I think that makes a lot of sense.
The perfection line last night, by the way, -2, now a -11 combined. The Stanley Cup final.
Here's two ways of how you approach that. And the way Berube approached it with the hand pass, you know what? We weren't good enough. We didn't get the call. We got to play better. When the Blues, yes, he did mention couple of days ago, you know what, we weren't getting all these penalty calls against us in the first few rounds. But he also went a step further, if you remember, and he said, but we have to kill penalties, for crying out loud. And they've done a much better job of killing those penalties. Last night, what you did not hear come out of the Boston locker room was, well, we got to score more goals. We got to play better. We got to find a way to win games. It was all about that call. That's not a good MO if that's your focus and you're trying to move forward, because the reality is they're not scoring enough goals on their home ice to win games. The two that they lost, they didn't score enough goals, period. You can't expect to be winning Stanley Cup final games at home when you're only scoring one goal a game. And that's something that I think it will be interesting to see how it works, and I agree with you. That could play a factor in Boston. If things don't go well early, just going, we're done.
And I've heard many hockey pundits say this Stanley Cup postseason run. The three things you need to make a run in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you need a little luck, you need health, and you need good goaltending. And that's where you can, from a skating standpoint, you can certainly say that last night the Boston Bruins outplayed the Blues. They outshot them almost 2-1. They outhit them by 9.
Mm-hmm.
But, Jim, here, as you said, Jordan Binnington was the best player on the ice, stopping 38 of 39. And then look across the other side of the crease. Tuukka Rask, one of the best goaltenders in the NHL. The Perron goal was an absolute wobbler.
Yes.
And that's a goal that, look, it happens, but you're not going to win a close Stanley Cup final game allowing a goal like that.
I think one thing that came to mind, I remember Joe Micheletti on this show mentioned after the hand pass that it looked like Binnington expecting the hand pass to be called kind of relaxed a little bit and wasn't totally focused, and as a result had to try to refine the puck, and then goal scores, Blues lose. Yeah. I wonder if Rask did that a little bit, expecting a penalty to be called once the Blues possessed the puck, and then because of that lost track and then got a little lazy, not so much lazy, but just, you know, absent-minded.
Right.
More so, you mentioned the saves by Jordan Binnington. The highlight that'll be played for Carl Gunnarsson's contribution for this series, assuming the Blues close it out either Sunday or Wednesday night, will be his Game 2 winner.
Right.
He saved the game late last night with the puck behind Jordan Binnington.
He did.
And nothing keeping the Bruins from just poking that puck in the net, but he was able to clear it just in time beforehand, and that kept the Blues in the lead for good after that. That was probably Boston's last best chance to tie the game, and he kept it out of the net.
Yeah, that you're right, because after it happened, and I didn't see the replay until later, I said, I don't know how that didn't go in, and now I know why. You're right, Gunnarsson's going to get more credit for that.
Want to tell everybody about a new sponsor, STL Chimney. Check them out on the web, stlchimney.com, or on Facebook at STL Chimney. You can also call Chris at 314-492-4040 or email stlchimney@gmail.com. They do sweeps, cleaning, inspections, repairs. Don't wait till the fall or winter when everybody wants their chimney and fireplace fixed, because that's what we did. We wanted our fireplace fixed this past holiday season, before Christmas and Thanksgiving and all that, but we waited too long. Everybody was booked. So a month ago, we called STL Chimney. They repaired our chimney and fireplace, did custom work on the inside, the outside. They're up on the roof doing everything. The fireplace now looks great, works great. So I highly recommend STL Chimney, stlchimney.com, on Facebook as well. Call Chris at 314-492-4040 or email stlchimney@gmail.com. We'll take a break. Coming back with some post-game audio from last night's huge Game 5 win for the Blues over the Bruins. Any sponsors first?
Well, the opening segment, which featured Frank Cusimano and all of us, is brought to you by Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway. Go to WWTRaceway.com for more information. Frank joined us on the Maryville University listener line. Visit Maryville.edu for more information. And we have the Gatesworth, the finest in senior living. One McKnight Place. Visit the Gatesworth for any more information that you might need. It's a great place for your mom, dad, aunt, uncle, any elderly loved one of yours. The Gatesworth, the finest in senior living.
Get your text in 855-282-8255 on last night's game. What do you think is going to happen Sunday night, Game 6 at Enterprise Center? And all that post-game audio coming up next on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.